Wherever Jesus is, then that means anything can happen at any time. We're grateful to be here tonight. Thankful for the wonderful blessings of God. Thankful for the opportunity to set this tent here in Apalachicola. Trust that we'll be able to reach some people and help some people here. And that somebody will be inspired to go on for Jesus. That yokes will be broken and things will happen. Last night the Lord blessed us. And though we were a night late getting started, the Lord blessed us. And tonight, I feel that He's going to bless us. I feel that Jesus is going to help us in what we're doing. And before we leave Apalachicola, we'll be able to have helped somebody with the wonderful blessings of God. If you've got your Bibles, you can turn with me to the book of Judges, 15th chapter. But it came to pass within a while after, in the time of wheat harvest, that Samson visited his wife with a kid, and he said, I will go in to my wife into the chamber. But her father would not suffer him to go in. And her father said, I verily thought that thou hadst utterly hated her. Therefore I gave her to thy companion. Is not her younger sister fairer than she? Take her, I pray thee, instead of her. And Samson said concerning them, Now shall I be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them a displeasure. And Samson went and caught 300 foxes and took firebrands and turned tail to tail and put a firebrand in the midst between two tails. And when he had set the brands on fire, he let them go into the standing corn of the Philistines and burn up both the shock and also the standing corn with the vineyards and olives. Then the Philistine said, Who hath done this? And they answered, Samson, the son-in-law of the Timite, because he had taken his wife and given her to his companion. And the Philistines came up and burnt her and her father with fire. And Samson said unto them, Though ye have done this, yet will I be avenged of you, and after that I will cease. And he smote them hip and thigh with a great slaughter, and he went down and dwelt in the top of the rock Elim. Then the Philistines went up and pitched in Judah and spread themselves in Lehi. And the men of Judah said, Why are ye come up against us? And they answered, To bind Samson are we come up, to do to him as he hath done to us. Then 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of the rock Etam and said to Samson, Knowest thou not that the Philistines are ruler over us? What is this that thou hast done to us? And he said unto them, As they did unto me, so have I done unto them. And they said unto him, We are come down to bind thee, that we may deliver thee into the hand of the Philistines. And Samson said unto them, Swear unto me that ye will not fall upon me yourselves. And they spake unto him, saying, No, but we will bind thee fast and deliver thee into their hand. But surely we will not kill thee. And they bound him with two new cords and brought him up from the rock. When he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And the cords that were upon his arms became his flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loose from off his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand, and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. And Samson said, With the jawbone of an ass, heap upon heap, with the jaw of an ass, have I slain 1,000 men. It came to pass, when he made an end of speaking, that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand, and called that place Ramoth Lehi. And he was sore athirst, and called on the Lord, and said, Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst, and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised. But God clave an hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout, and when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and revived, wherefore he called the name thereof Enhakorhi, which is in Lehi unto this day. And he judged Israel in the days of the Philistine 20 years. You know, there's a great lesson in the reading of Samson and the things that he did. We read about great men, and of course they have little comic strips about great men. You read about men in the little comic strips that break chains and ropes and that you those that you cannot bind, and to us it It is a myth. You know, we read about these things, or children read about them when they're little. And as we grow up, we hear about these things and we see movies of them, if we are that type of people that take in the movie world. And we see it on TV and the different things of how that these men are so strong and they have such great ability. But really, it's just a lot of fiction. Actually, there isn't people that actually can do that. When they're put to the test, they really can't do that. But did you know there has been, in the years gone by, some people that really could do that? There has been people that really could break chains. And there has been people that really could take a lion and rend the lion or fight the lion with their bare hand and defeat it. Samson is one that actually defeated a lion with his bare hands. He actually met the lion face to face and rent it as though it was a kid and killed the lion right on the spot just with the strength that he had within his body. Or that is by the great, wonderful anointing of God. You know, that which is spiritual that we cannot see is powerful. The most powerful things there is that which we cannot see. Even scientists have learned that the atomic powers that are in the air, that there is great power. There is power that cannot be seen with the natural eye, but there is great power that is in the air. Now then, they do have some means or mechanism of defining some of those things, looking at the atoms and learning to split the atoms, and still they cannot tell what the power is. They know that it's there, and they've learned to harness it, and they've learned to use that power, but they don't understand the source of that power. Even Einstein, as great as he was, he did not understand the source of the great power. And though he came up with a formula as to the use of it, he still did not understand that great, wonderful, invisible force. And so then those things that are invisible, those things that you cannot see, they are the most powerful of all. And when we think about power, we think about Samson and his ability to actually take his hands and face the lion and defeat a lion. As strong as the lion is, he was able to face the lion and actually defeat the lion. Now to me, that's great strength and that's great power. There is no living human being that's able to do that. That means that there had to be some supernatural intervention that caused Samson to be able to do this great, wonderful thing. I say the supernatural, whether it be God or whether it be Lucifer, there is great power, there is great strength that is in the invisible world. We're told that Legion, when Jesus entered into the land of Gadara, that he met Legion, and this man came fiercely out of the tombs toward him. There Jesus conquered him by the faith and power of the Almighty God. But we're told that the same Legion had the power to break chains. The Scripture tells us that he could be bound with ropes, but ropes could not hold him. And the Scripture tells us that they actually used chains and they bound him with chains. But when the spirit of the devil, that invisible force, came upon Legion, that he broke the chains and they could not bind him with chains. And that he was continually among the tombs crying and cutting himself. But one day Jesus came. And when Jesus came, that made all the difference. You know, there's people today, they're driven by the powers of the enemy. They're actually driven by the powers of the devil. And they're supernaturally strong in the sense of endurance. You can't cause them to deviate from their cause or their purpose in life. And they are exceedingly strong in personality. And they're strong in mind. And the average individual cannot face them. It is a great supernatural invisible force that possesses their body and possesses their mind. And they're actually driven by this great power until they accomplish great things in this life. Satan being their master, Satan having his purpose, Satan desiring to be the controlling factor of all the world.
Therefore, they are driven by this great force until this power, this invisible power that you cannot see, actually uses up their life and their strength, and they're found helpless, being under the constraint of this great and mighty invisible force that cannot be explained except through Christ Jesus. So then we see a great thing here. In the life of Samson, we see something. We see someone that is moved by a great power. We see someone that is moved by a great force. We see this great, wonderful, invisible power that is moving in the life of Samson. And though he was an ordinary man just like you and I, yet when this great, wonderful, supernatural power began to come upon Samson, when this great, wonderful anointing began to move in Samson, all of a sudden he was a great Superman. He had the ability of a great strength that no one in the land possessed. He had the ability to walk up to a lion and actually take a lion just like you would take a little lamb and just rend him just with that strength that he had within his body. The great, wonderful, supernatural strength of God. He had the power to take the jawbone of an ass and endure until he could kill 1,000 men with it. Think about strength like that. God gave strength in such a way that David of old testified. He said, I have run through a troop and I've leaped over a wall. And he actually fought the enemy and had such great strength until the Bible says that the sword cleaved to his hand. When he would take the sword out of his hand, he'd have to take his fingers like that, as we say, and have to pull them apart to get the sword out of his hand. Such great strength that his hands locked upon the sword. And he fought with such great fervency that he said, I've run through a troop and leaped over a wall. You know, I don't know what this does to you, but this does something to me. When I think that God is so close by, and that God is so plentiful, and God is so powerful, and God is so freely giving himself to me and to you, it makes me feel like I can do anything. The writer said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I get to feeling that wonderful presence of God, that wonderful power of God, and I know that I can do anything. As David said, run through the troop, leap over the wall, take the lion, and rend him like a kid. God's supernatural power, God's supernatural force, God's supernatural endurance, God giving me the needed strength and the blessings that I need as I go through this life. You know, in the day that we're living in, this is a horrible day. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, this is a great day, and I agree to that. It is a great day. It's a great day for the children of God. But this is a horrible day. The day that we're living in is a day when people are so oppressed until they cannot hardly retain their sanity. They don't hardly have the power within their own physical bodies to retain sanity. They're on the verge of losing their minds day after day. I talk with hundreds and thousands of people. I meet with them and preach to them and talk with them. And I find out that people are on the verge of going insane. I mean sober, sensible people that's got good brain. There's nothing wrong with their brain. There's nothing wrong with them in the sense that they should lose their mind. But the oppressing powers of darkness and the satanic forces of night has so settled down over the people until they are under such great, great suppression, or the siege of Satan is so great until they can hardly retain their sanity. You know, this makes me to know that the deliverance of God is at hand. This makes me to know that the coming of the Lord is at hand. This makes me to understand that something great and mighty is about to take place. Because about 3 days of darkness down in Egypt, it got so dark down there, the Bible said that they could feel the darkness. Did you know that was just before the great power of deliverance come? That was just before the blood was applied. That was just before that great, wonderful move of God that God had promised to bring to Israel at that certain time. God said, Abraham, Thy seed shall sojourn in bondage for 400 years. After this, I will bring them out with a great hand. I will raise up a deliverer. I will bring them out with a great and a mighty hand. And according to the Bible, at the end of the 430 years, God brought Moses, and a great, wonderful deliverance set in. And God began to deliver His people. Oh, what a thrill that is to know that God kept His word. 400 years after He had talked to the man Abraham, after Abraham had already passed over the scene, God remembered His word to Abraham. That's a thrill to me to know that the prophets of old and those that God spoke to, God has not forgotten His word. God has made haste to perform His word, even in the days that we're living in. Though many hundreds of years ago, God spoke of this time, God has not forgotten His word. He's remembered you as His people. He said, "Fear not, I covenanted with you. I made a covenant with you. My covenant remains among you as I promised you back in the days of your forefather." You know, the Constitution of the United States, it's a great thing. It was a real great thing until they started adding amendments, until they started changing it around. And the words that we first knew back yonder, our constitutional rights or our liberties, we don't have them anymore because of the amendments, because of the changing around. But you know, God's word isn't like that. God's word is sure to every generation. And the Bible said it's unchanged no matter what the generation might be, no matter what the people might be. His word remains the same to every generation. "I am the same to 1,000 generations," the Lord said. "I change not day and night. I change not. I change not to the generation that's passed on. I change not to the generation that's present tonight. I'll change not to the generation that's in the future. The word of God the same yesterday, today, and forever." What a wonderful word of reliance. What a wonderful constitutional right, as we would say. Something that we can depend upon. So then when we think of this, we know that we've got a more sure word of prophecy. We know that we've got something that we can depend on, folks. We know that it's not going to be changed around, but it's something that we can actually take as a treasure, take as a sure leaning post, something that we can actually place within our heart and know that these words are spirit and that they are life. I think about this wonderful surge of energy, this wonderful surge of strength in this oppressing hour, in this day, in this moment, in this time, when there's such problems. There's national problems. There's international problems. There's domestic problems. There's all kinds of problems. We can't trust the president anymore. We can't trust the king anymore. We can't trust the mayor anymore. We can't trust the law anymore. We can't trust the professors of the college anymore. We can't trust one another anymore. Oh, my brother, why has God let this thing happen like that? It's to make every one of us to become an individual, to bring us down to a sovereignty, to where we'll draw back in our shell, to where we'll draw back from one another, to where we'll quit trusting in the arm of the flesh. For the Bible said, "Cursed is the man that goeth down to Egypt for his help," or "Cursed is that man that leaneth upon the arm of flesh." And God is causing us to come to a place to where we withdraw from the world and from each other, to where this great, wonderful stimulation of the revelation of Christ can come into our heart. Why is God doing that? Folks, He's doing it for one purpose. God intends to have the preeminence. God intends to have the glory. Can you say amen? God intends to have the glory. Hallelujah. God intends to have the preeminence. God intends to bless. But He intends for you and me to worship God, and for us to follow God, and for us to do the things that God has told us to do. What a wonderful thing. Everybody isn't going to do that. You know that everybody isn't going to listen to God. Everybody isn't going to listen to faith. Everybody isn't going to listen to the things that Christ commanded. They didn't do it when Christ was in this world. The Bible said He was in this world. The world was made by Him and the world knew Him not. But the Bible said the God that created heaven and earth actually manifested Himself in a human body and walked this earth and was in this world. And the Bible tells us that this world that was created by God, though God came down and walked in this world, the Creator, that they did not recognize Him. They did not recognize Him. Jesus came and walked this earth. And as He walked this earth, folks, He told them that He'd come into the world as a light. He said, I am the light of the world. He said, but you folks love darkness rather than you do light. I've come to bring you a light. And great light is spring up to them that set in the regions of the shadow of death. He said, but folks, when I come to give you this light, you don't want this light. He said, you love darkness rather than light. He said, you know why that you love darkness rather than light? He said, it's because your deeds are evil. He said, you love the darkness to cover up your deeds. He said, your deeds are evil. That's why you love the darkness rather than the light. I am come as the light into the world. And this is the condemnation that shall be in the day of the judgment. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. You say, Brother Pike, what do you mean about darkness? You know, God told Paul one time, said, Paul, turn my people from darkness to light. He spoke of darkness as being the intellectual powers of reasoning. He commanded you and I not to lean to our own understanding. Said you're born with the wrong understanding. You're born into this world as a sinner because of the thing that happened to your forefather Adam, the thing that happened to Eve. Therefore, when you're born into the world, you're born wrong to start with. You're born as a sinner. Therefore, you cannot lean to the understanding that comes from your first birth. You cannot cultivate the understanding of your first birth. And you cannot follow the understanding of your first birth. He said, verily I say unto thee that thou must be born again. He said, Nicodemus, unless you're born again, he said, you will never even see the kingdom of God. Can you imagine a thing like that? Here Nicodemus was a great religious leader. A great rabbi, as we would say. There stood as a great religious leader. Jesus said, art thou a master of Israel and knoweth not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, a man must be born again. When he said, unless you're born again, ye shall not see the kingdom of God. What was he talking about? Brother and sister, he wasn't talking about my natural eyes. He wasn't talking about me naturally seeing. He was talking about the eyes of my understanding being enlightened. Paul said that the eyes of your understanding, that they may be enlightened, that you may comprehend the heights and the depths and the width and the length, he said, of what God is doing. For God is a spirit, Jesus said. Jesus met the woman at the well and he talked to the woman at the well. And she said, I perceive, sir, that thou art a prophet because you've told me the secrets of my heart. I perceive that thou art a prophet. And she began to tell him how that they worshipped in a certain place. How that the father Jacob and the others appointed a certain place. Jesus said, woman, I want to enlighten your understanding. I want to say something unto you. Said, the time shall come and now is when the true worshipers shall worship God in spirit and in truth. For God is a spirit and God seeketh such to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Paul said, God the Spirit whom I serve with my spirit. The Bible said He is the Father of spirits. You know, today's Father's Day. Today's Father's Day. You know, in my heart, every day's Father's Day. Jesus said, I do always the things that please the Father. Every day in my heart is Father's Day. Because I invite the Father to lead me, to direct me, to tell me the things that He would have me to do. I love to acknowledge Father's Day, don't you? I love to look away to heaven and say, Father, not my will, but Thy will be done. Oh, my brother, my sister, what a great, wonderful moment this is. What a great time this is. What a great day this is. Believe it or not, right here, Apalachicola, there's a great, wonderful move of God taking place. There's a great revelation taking place. I said last night, we're not here just because we wanted to set a tent meeting. Even though this year I wanted to have tent meetings, still plan to have tent meetings throughout the year. About every year we have tent meetings if we don't go off into the mission fields. But we are here not just to have a tent meeting, but by the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, I went up to visit with Peter by revelation. Sometimes you can move with faith. Sometimes you can just do things because you feel inspired. But there is another way to do things. And that is when God says unto you, go and say, thus saith the Lord. Go by the revelation of Christ. Go because it's revealed to you. Go because the unction of the Holy One has directed you to go. And brother, we are here at Apalachicola because God said that we were to come here. The great Father of lights told me to come to Apalachicola. We were coming up from Sarasota, Florida. As we come across, coming into the bay here in our ship, I told the brethren when we left Tarpon, we'd brought the ship from Sarasota to Tarpon. When we left Tarpon, I said, brethren, we'll see land on the third day. I said, because the revelation of Jesus Christ shows that we will do it. We were out there in the water and we didn't see land until the third day. And when we saw the third day, land was coming in sight. Now the Lord was leading me. The Lord was speaking to me. The Lord was telling me something. I'd been down into South America there, or Central America. Of course, we'd been into South America too. But I'd been down into Central America, had driven down in the motorhome, was way down past Guatemala, had gone through Guatemala, gone into the edges of Honduras. There we ascended up into a high mountain. That's some of the highest mountains in the world. And we ascended up into a high mountain. While we was up there, a great fog settled around. And it was night, and I decided that I would pray and talk to the Lord and stay there for the night. So then, over during the night, God began to deal with us. I told the brethren, I said, after I get past Houston, Texas, on this trip, I said, God's going to speak to me. He's got a certain thing He wants to tell me. I knew what He wanted to talk to me about, but I didn't know the details of what He was going to say. And when we got down there, way up into the lofty mountains, that cloud coming down just like it was around Moses on that mountain, all of a sudden, God showed me a vision. The vision was a great, wonderful thing. It agreed with what I understood that He was going to tell me. I then, after that, for a number of weeks, months, I pushed it out of my mind. I forgot about it. Then when we went down to Tarpon to bring the boat over, as I was coming over during the 3 days, we got stopped out of the water, had to cast anchor overnight, and it was so foggy we couldn't see anywhere around us. And there the fog was so dense. I got up in the middle of the morning. I walked out on the back of the boat. We had put a couple of what you call bandits out on the back of the boat. Some of them had put them out there to catch fish on the way up. And I sat down in the middle of the morning there. They had caught a couple of sharks on these bandits. I finally got them up in the morning, got them to take the sharks off. Then I went back by myself and I sat down. They went to sleep. I sat down here in the middle of the bandits in a little old chair, had my raincoat, little old transparency on over my head and shoulders. And I sat there talking to Jesus. What a wonderful time I was having. And all of a sudden, God showed me a vision. And God spoke to me about the vision that I'd had down in Honduras, there in the high mountains. God spoke to me and He gave me a great vision that thrilled my soul. So then when the morning came, we pulled the anchor and we were on our way. When we come into here, we pulled up near the marina. When we pulled up near the marina out here, a little while I got off, I went into the motel, and I was weary, and here in Apalachicola, I had one of the greatest visions that I've ever had in all of my life. And I've had a lot of visions, and I've had some great and mighty visions. I had this vision, and in this vision, I was walking just like I'm doing right now. I was looking perhaps out in this direction toward the end of the bridge. And I felt beside me a supernatural power. I knew that there was a great power. Speaking of this great strength of Samson now. Speaking of the great supernatural power. I felt a great supernatural power. It walked with me. As I began to walk, I began to notice. And I couldn't see anyone, but I could feel it. Everywhere I went, it went along beside me. I began to feel this great, wonderful thing. And I thought how terrible this great, wonderful power walking along beside me. As I walked, I thought, my, what is this? And yet it felt good. It seemed to bring me peace. It seemed to bring me rest. I began to feel a sense of relaxation because it was with me. But it was so great and mighty and powerful that it stirred my innermost being every time I think about it being there and not being able to recognize what it was. It really shook me. I continued to walk. As I continued to walk, this thing continued to walk with me. And all of a sudden, more and more, I began to think, I ought to know what this is. I ought to understand this better. And I just kept walking. And finally, all of a sudden, it struck me, and I knew then and there that it was the Son of God. I knew it was the Spirit of Christ. And I knew that this great, wonderful Spirit that I had recognized many times had come to me in a different way. It had come to me in a great, powerful way, in a great anointing that I'd never known before. And it walked along beside me, and just as quick as I recognized it, I turned and I thought, that's Jesus. And when I turned into me, He come. And He walked right inside of me, just swallowed me up. And all of a sudden, He and I become one. And I thought, my God, that thing come right into me. Christ, God, walked into me. And He's on the inside of me. And this great, powerful thing that I felt walking with me is now on the inside of me. And, you know, when you think about the power of God, you think about how wonderful that would be if you just had power to do all kinds of things. You think, wouldn't that be wonderful? But I want to tell you tonight, it's not at all the way that you think it is. All of a sudden, I felt that thing within me. And I heard something say, be careful. Now, I was to be careful what I thought. I was to be careful what I said. I was to be careful what I'd done. And I thought, if I just speak the wrong thing, I can actually speak something out of existence. And I was told in my heart that if I just spoke a certain way, I spoke a certain thing, that something would just go out of existence if I wasn't careful in what I said. And I said, my God, this is terrible. Here I stand with this great, wonderful power inside of me. And I've got to be so careful. I've got to be careful what I think. I've got to be careful what I say. I've got to be careful what I do. I thought this would be the greatest thrill of my life, to have a power like that. And brother, it was a thrill. It was an exciting thing. It was a wonderful thing. But a feeling of responsibility and fear came over me, of godly reverence and fear that I'd never experienced in my life before. You know, it made me to know something, folks. We, like little children, we say, God, give us power. God, do something for us. But we don't even know what we're talking about. For a number of days, After that this thing happened to me, I didn't understand. I knew it was wonderful, but I didn't understand. But then God began to speak to me by the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as God began to speak to me, He told me why that the vision happened on the boat. Why that the vision related to the Honduras vision. Why that I had the vision here in Apalachicola concerning this wonderful thing. And He told me I was to come to Apalachicola. I was to bring this little tent. Now God has blessed us with another tent of about 220 feet by 140. It's a big tent. And God's blessed us with it. But He said, take this little tent and go down to Apalachicola and set this tent, because this tent has a special significance. And I want it set in Apalachicola. As the writer said, I was not contrary nor disobedient to the heavenly vision. I came down here. I set the tent. We're here under it tonight. God told me, He said, son, the meeting in Apalachicola has to do with the end of the world. And said it has to do with the redemption of the body. And it has to do with the manifestation of the sons of God. And said that's why that power walked into you. It denoted that when Christ is recognized, that you and Christ become one. And that God will redeem this body. And that time is near at hand right now. You know, Paul said one time, I would that you were spiritual. I'd like to speak unto you as unto spirituals. But he said, seeing that you're babes in Christ, I can't do that. You'll just have to desire the sincere milk of the word. I'm here tonight. I'm speaking to you as just babes in Christ. Perhaps we've got some out there that are not babes in Christ. We may have some out here that are parents. Maybe there's some of them that's exercised their senses, that they can feed off of the meat. But God let me know that I was to speak unto you as babes to begin with, until I was able to fill out and find out who is in my midst and who God has anointed and who God can give this wonderful thing to, that's called the revelation of Jesus Christ. So then, I am here tonight. If I just should go through no more than the revelation concerning Apalachicola. If you were spiritual tonight, and I knew that you were spiritual, and I talked to you tonight, if I just went through the things pertaining to Apalachicola and concerning this tent that's here at this little place they call 10-foot hole, I believe. If I just went through that tonight, it would be enough, folks, to write a book about. Just right here concerning the visions and concerning the revelation of what this meeting has to do with and what's taking place right here in Apalachicola. I know that this would be over people's head. If I talked about it tonight, some of you wouldn't even know what I was saying tonight. I know that you wouldn't know what I was saying. Because sometimes I talk to people that are advanced in God, and they still don't understand. But let me tell you, when you do get to where you can understand, the Bible said the meat belonged to the strong. They who have by reasoning exercised their senses to be able to discern between good and evil. When you come to that place to where you can feed off of the meat, you know, Jesus said, feed my lambs. He wants us to have milk for the little ones. But brother and sister, the Bible said that parents should lay up for the children. We're supposed to be laying up for the children. And He says in one place that when you should be teachers, you have need that you be taught. He said, this is the very first part of the oracles of God. This is the very principal part. But see, God has got something for us. God has got something great. God is wanting to do something. My heart is enlarged to you tonight. How that I'd like to stand here tonight and preach the revelation of Jesus Christ and tell you tonight the wonderful things that God has in store for you in the revelational mind of Almighty God. Paul received a revelation, and he was made to know that the people was utterly in darkness. And God said, Paul, turn my people from darkness to light. And I say again, what is that darkness? He said, gross darkness shall cover the earth. And in the end time, there shall come forth light, and God shall bring forth that wonderful light of the evening time. So then gross darkness is covering the earth. What is that darkness? That darkness is the intellectual power of human reasoning and people leaning to their own understanding. Why is the nation in a mess tonight? Can you tell me? Why is the world in the condition that it's in tonight? Can you tell me? Does our president have the answer? No. Does the kings and queens of the world have the answer? No. Does the great statesmen have the answer? No. Does the military powers have the answer? No. Does the medical world have the answer? No. Does the educational powers of this world have the answers? No. Then where is the answer? Christ is the answer. The Bible is the answer. The Word of God, the knowledge of the Lord, the revelation of the Son of God. The Bible said this world is groaning and it's waiting and it's looking for not the senators, not the presidents, not the professors, not the great decrees that come from the great universities of the world, but it is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the government of all eternity rests upon the shoulders of the sons of God. You say, Brother Pike, where are they going to be educated? My brother, the Bible said, everyone that is born of God is of a good understanding. And the Bible said, the Spirit of the Lord shall be upon him, and he shall be of a quick understanding. And he's able to understand, he's able to learn, he's able to know what many thousands of great men can never think. You say, why is that? Because the Bible said that God has set this abundantly and above all that we're able to ask or even think. No matter how much you study, no matter how much you ask, the Bible said God has set this abundantly and above all that you're able to ask or even think. And the Bible said that God hath hid this thing. God hath hid this thing. How do you remember when God hid Elijah? They searched through the land, but they couldn't find him. They looked everywhere, but they couldn't find him. Ahab sought him everywhere, but couldn't find him. Brother, when God hides something, I want you to know it's hid. There, God has hid this thing from the eyes of the wise and prudent. And what has he done in our behalf? The Bible said he's made it revelation unto babes such as are willing to learn. You know what? The world calls many of you babes because you cannot measure up to their doctor's degrees and their powers of philosophy. And according to the academic side of life, you are nothing but babes. But God said, if you'll seek me and call on me, though you be a babe, I'll reveal something to you that the great, wonderful scholars of this world don't know. Hallelujah. What a wonderful thought. The world is not waiting for kings and queens and presidents, not waiting for councils and banquets, but the world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. What are they going to do? Brother, they're going to bring in an everlasting government that will never be overthrown. They're going to bring in a government that will please God well. And they're going to completely eradicate all the impurities of the earth, do away with the perversion, and they're going to set up a government, an everlasting government that no one will ever be able to change. Who will do it? The sons of the living God. That's why I'm in Apalachicola. The hour has come when God is fixing to move. God is always moving. God is always moving. He's always done something. But brother, there's a promise in the Bible. In the book of Revelation, it tells us that the sounding of the last trumpet, Revelation 10 and 7 says, and when that angel sounds, Revelation 11, 15 said, and he sounded. And the Bible said at that time the kingdoms of this world would become the kingdoms of God and of His Christ, and that He would reign forever and ever. According to the Bible, we are now approaching the moment and the hour when the saints of God shall rise and take the kingdom and possess it forever and ever. Now let me say this right hurriedly. When we speak of taking the kingdom, don't misconstrue that with the idea of taking the kingdom of God. You already have the kingdom of God if you are a Christian. But the Bible says that we will rise and take the kingdoms of this world. And the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of God and of His Christ. And He shall reign forever and ever. To take the kingdoms of this world. You know, a lot of things are taking place. It is hid from the eyes of the wise and prudent. There are great men in the earth. There are great movements in the earth. There are great denominational powers in the earth, great religions in the earth. But many of them are blind. Many of them are so confident that they know until they have actually blinded themselves. And they're so confident because they've got somebody's books. They've got somebody's lectures. They've got somebody's indoctrination. They're so sure that they know that they blinded themselves. And they've got themselves off into a corner where God cannot reach them and God cannot help them. I'm going to say this in closing. Last night, I made the statement. Every person lives within the confinement of their own human reasoning. They live within the world of their own intellectual concept. And their world is only as large as they themselves have allowed it to be. Whether it's exercising their mind in college studies, in school, or in conversation, or meditation, or human reasoning. And they've expanded no farther than the environment of their own reasoning. And if a person being in that kind of condition cannot take time to hear somebody else, take time to understand what somebody else is saying, they will remain in that little prison or the imprisonment of their own world. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, as long as I'm in prison with Jesus, I'm happy. Brother, let me tell you something, and sister, let me tell you something. If you've got the mind of Christ, the Bible said we have an unction from the Holy One that we should know all things. Do you feel that God is going to raise up a group of manifested sons and daughters that is going to try to rule the world and not know what they're doing? So then you can't blame God for your dwarfed world, for your little intellectual confinement of suffering and misery and fear or philosophy. You can't blame God for that, because we've got an understanding from God. We've got an opportunity from God. And if we bypass it, then we're in trouble. You love Jesus? I wish we had more time tonight to say more things. But from night to night, we'll be talking about different things that might thrill your heart. We were up in Jeffersonville, Indiana, not too long ago. We had a circular tent set there about 140 by 140. God blessed us. We had a real meeting. But when we went into the town, they told us that we couldn't have our meeting. We'd already had everything ready to go. And I'm just going to take a moment. I just want you to listen for a moment. They told us we couldn't have our meeting. We had our grounds, a beautiful place right in town. We had everything set up. We done got all the permissions. Everything was just right. But the Lord spoke to me, and I told someone, I said, you better go check it out, because God has showed me an interference and they're going to try to stop us. Something's going to go wrong from what I can tell. I said, you need to go do something about it. They said, no, everything's just fine. So the advertisement was out. Everything was going well. And on the night we got ready to set the tent, they come out and said, I'm sorry, you cannot set your tent here. They said, you don't have your permit. I said, well, we'll just wait a day. And they said, it won't do any good. You won't be able to set it tomorrow. I said, well, we'll wait another day. They said, well, I'm sorry, you won't be able to set it then. I said, sir, I was talking to the policeman, the chief of police, or whoever. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, are you telling me that I can't preach here in Jeffersonville, Indiana? He said, that's what I'm telling you. I said, sir, I said, you are under authority. Is that right? He said, that is right. I said, by the people. I said, and you must perform your duty. Is that right? He said, that is right. I said, sir, I'm under authority by God. And God said, preach in Indiana. And Jeffersonville, Indiana will hear me preach. I'm going to preach the gospel. And I said, I'm going to do it right now. I'm going to preach the gospel right now. I turned around and called people together that were standing out there. I said, come together. And I picked up my Bible. I walked off and I started telling them about Jesus. I said, we're going to give them till tomorrow to give us the permit. I said, we've done everything that's legal and lawful and right. And I said, if they don't give us that permit, the tent goes up anyway. So they didn't send me the permit and the tent went up anyway. And I said, men, go to work and set this tent. I said, God said to set this tent, and I don't care what man says about it, this tent's going to be set. I said, whatever the problem is, whatever happens here, we're going to set this tent. And brother, they went together and they set the tent. And when they did, the authorities got upset. But we just believed God and went right on. And God shook up Kentucky and shook up Indiana so bad. Until that mayor was tore all to pieces. The authorities and those that had banded together was tore all to pieces. And God brought the men out from the television stations. And he brought the newspaper reporters out. And they began to give us the write-ups in the biggest papers there. And the televisions began to carry it all over the place there. And all through the day you could hear it ringing out on television. It's Jeffersonville, Indiana. And the mayor says, no revival. But revival goes on. And revival fires are still burning in Jeffersonville, Indiana. God shook the mayor up so bad. We never did get a permit. But he sent us special permission. Said, folks, have a good time in Jeffersonville, Indiana. And they backed off and left us alone. A man come out, one of the authorities. And he says, I've never known the tent to be set in the city of Jeffersonville, Indiana. Said, I've never known it since the day a man by the name of William Branham said, I remember, he was an aged man. He said, I remember a tent that was set down by the river that was split open, that the wind split open. Said, I was in that meeting. Said, I've never known one to be set here. But brother, we set the tent and we preached the gospel. We didn't try to do anything wrong. We'd done everything according to the magistrates, obeying the law and them that had rule over us. But like Daniel and the Hebrew children, when they made their laws contrary to God, contrary to the Constitution, contrary to our freedom of right, then we stood up for it and God stood with us. And we still had a revival and God sent people to that tent and God stood with us and the people stood with us. And in that meeting, we had cancer healed by doctor's report. God will stand with you. God will help you. If you're willing to stand up for the right, not to do it for vain glory, not to do it for strife and envy, but to do what God tells you to do, God will stand with you. Hallelujah. So then, the Lord blessed us, and the Lord stood with us, because we went by the revelation of the Son of God. Folks, tonight, we're here in Apalachicola by the revelation of the Son of God. I appreciate the authorities, the way that they've treated us. They opened their doors to us. They did not oppose us. They allowed us to come in. When we went into Hall, Tennessee, we set up, the authorities opened their doors to us. The mayor and the wife, they were there to the meeting, and the authorities stood with us and gave us protection. That's the way it's supposed to be, folks. That's our constitutional right to preach the gospel and tell about this wonderful Jesus. But there is certain places that the devil has so bound until you can't get in there. You know, it might be coincidental or whatever, but I noticed they call that the land of the red devils up there. But there's one thing about it, red devils or blue devils or black devils or whatever kind of devils, they had to take a back seat while God had his say. You love Jesus? All right, the power was strong enough that legion could break chains, the powers of Lucifer. But God's power was strong enough that Christ said, let there be, peace be still, and there was. And the man was set free. So tonight, we have the wonderful power of God in my life and in your life. We have the wonderful unction of the Holy One that we should do something for the Son of God. And folks, here, according to the great vision and according to what God showed me, that's why I am here. Now, I know a lot of people is going to believe that. I saw some people get up and walk out a while ago. Maybe they had to go to work. I don't know. Once in a while, we lose a few. But, you know, I know that everybody isn't going to believe it. But still, it's the truth. Just because, let me say this now. You might hear something. You might say, well, I don't believe it. But it isn't going to make the faith of God of none effect. God's just going to bypass you and your unbelief and go down to your neighbor's house and perform it for your neighbor. And he's going to get the benefit while you sit there in unbelief. So your reasoning isn't going to change it. Your thinking isn't going to change it. Your decision isn't going to change it. If you annul it in your mind, it isn't going to change it. The Word of God is established forever. It'll never be altered in heaven and earth. So then tonight, we want to invite you to listen from night to night to the Word of God. And we want you to program your minds with the wonderful faith of Christ. And we want you to find deliverance for your body, for your soul, and for your spirit, because it is for you. The writer said, I want to present you blameless before God, body, soul, and spirit. And tonight, we want to help meet that need. Now, there's a lot of things, I say again, a lot of things that we could say tonight pertaining to the revelation, that if we went all night long, and some of these folks that are here tonight, maybe some of them that has been with us to hear that can tell you, that if we go all night long, by the morning we just be getting started good, telling you the wonderful revelation of the Son of God, because it is beautiful, fantastically wonderful. But with this exhortation tonight of trying to exhort you and encourage you to come to God or to share with you something that would create an enthusiasm for serving the Lord, I'm just saying a few words here tonight. I want you to stand with me. I appreciate every one of you. I appreciate you being here. I appreciate your concern and enthusiasm. I love you. We are not a lawbreaker. We believe in honoring the law, obeying the law, working with the law. We do everything possible to be as peaceful as we possibly can so that we can do the will of the Father and so that we won't offend anybody. We try our very best to please everybody to the very best of our ability. But folks, we've got a job to do. If you are a Christian, you've got a job to do. Old Brother Daniel didn't want to offend anybody. He didn't want to hurt anybody. He didn't try to be contrary. He was an asset to the kingdom there of Babylon, even though he was out of his homeland. Yet he tried to make himself useful, tried to conform to their ways as much as he could without going contrary to the will of God. Paul said, if you're in Rome, do like the Romans do. If you are with them that are without law, then be without law. He said, but not without law to God. Whatever you do, he said, always retain your integrity with God. Whatever you do, keep your integrity with God. And so then when we see these wonderful things, we know that God is with us. We know that he wants us to obey the magistrates, but he wants us to stand up for his wonderful way. Isn't that right? When the fire was heated so hot, the king said, now, time to bow down. The Hebrew children said, be it known unto the old king. Said, we don't have any plans like that. Said, we don't have any plans like that. And he got in a rage and he said, talk to me, the king. Tell me that you're not going to do it. Said, oh, king, we're not careful to answer you about this matter. We got respect for you. We've been honorable here. We've worked with you. We've done all we can. But now you're asking us to cross our conscience and go contrary to our God. Said, we want you to know right now, we don't even have to think the thing over. Said, we don't have any plans of bowing down to that image. Glory to God. Isn't that the way it's supposed to be, folks? Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? We got some sons and daughters of God here. That's just like there was in the dark age. Somebody said, oh, we don't have any more than people like they had in the dark age back there. When the women died, the men died at the stakes and died in the fire. But I want you to know we got some more of them. we got some more of them. They're just kind of easing along. But after a while, when they really put the pressure on them, after a while, when they really come down on them, God will stir their hearts and God will anoint them. And then when God anoints them, they'll stand there like an oak tree and they won't move. And though they might spill their blood from their veins, they still won't move. They'll count this temporal life here and this feeble way of life with all of their values here, they'll count it as nothing and stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll do it. You'll see. You'll see. It'll come to pass. There are still men and women that'll do it. You say, well, I just don't think I could do it. None of you could do it without Jesus, but you'd be surprised at who could do it with Jesus. I had a friend, Russian Jew. He told me when communism took over, said he was there. He said, Brother Pike, by night, in that one area, I believe he said 60,000 people lay dead. He said, but Brother Pike, the astounding thing is, said, I saw him walk the plank. They put up a vat of hot oil. I saw him walk the plank. He said, I saw him set a picture as it was Jesus Christ on one side and set another picture over here as it was Stalin. And said that they were told that anybody that would deny Christ could just step off and they didn't have to go into that pot of boiling oil. People, the thousands of them that lined up. And he said, Brother Pike, to the shocking amazement of them that looked on, he said, not one person turned and denied Christ. He said, they walked that plank. He said, I saw them do it and they'd come to a stop at the end like this and they'd look at the picture of Christ Jesus and they'd look over here at this picture of Stalin. They'd look at the pot of boiling oil and said they'd begin to sing the song, I believe that Jesus saves and His blood washes whiter than the snow. And said they would praise God and step off into the boiling oil. He said, I saw little children. Said this was a shocking thing. But I saw little children big enough to know what was going on. And said, did you know that even those little children that screamed and cried for mother would not deny the Lord Jesus Christ? He said, I saw them cut the heads off and fill a platter with heads of the children. But said the little children would not deny Jesus. I wonder tonight if everything is well with you in Jesus. I wonder if everything's well in your heart tonight. While they're playing on the organ, I want us to sing this little chorus, Into My Heart. While we're singing tonight, I want you to consider Jesus and make a commitment. Paul said, I'm persuaded to believe that Christ is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that great day. If you've not made the commitment, let me encourage you to make it tonight. The harvest is ripe. The labors are few. I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? Give me another key, brother. Come into my heart. Oh, come into my heart. Come into my heart. Lord Jesus, come in today. Oh, come in to stay. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Say it again now. Come in to my heart. Oh, come in to my heart. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Oh, come in to stay. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Now while they're playing, if you want to give your heart to God, I want you to step out. I want you to step out. Coming up here doesn't mean anything in the sense of giving your heart to God. Well, we have altars of the heart. But we come up a lot of times to unionize in prayer and with different ones that we might be of strength to one another. If you need prayer tonight, if you are a Christian, and you've got problems and you've got things troubling you, and evil spirits won't leave you alone, God will break the yoke tonight. God will break the bondage. Someone said over in the evening, said that God had really done something for them from the meeting last night. And they felt better than they'd felt in a long time. Tonight, if you need something from God, then you can come up here. If you need healing for your body, if you'd like to be prayed for because you've got problems in your body, the Bible said the prayer of faith shall save the sick. If they've committed any sins, it shall be forgiven them. The Bible said to lay hands on the sick and they recover. The Bible says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. These signs follow true believers. These signs of healing and deliverance follow true ministries and follow true people that God sends into the earth. God will do something for you. God will help you. If you need prayer tonight, if you need the yoke broken off of you, then God will do something for you. If you want prayer tonight, just step out. Come on up here and let us pray for you. If you need salvation, step out. If you need the devils cast out, the yoke broke, step out tonight. While they're playing on the organ, you just meditate now in the laws of the Lord. The Bible speaks of the person that serves Christ meditating in the laws of God day and night. The Bible teaches that as we meditate in these laws day and night, that God will bless us and that we are to cast down every thought, and bring every thought into subjection to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to do that. Tonight, you're not to lean to your own understanding. You're to cast down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Meditating in His law day and night. Brothers and sisters, I want you to stretch your hand out up this way with me. By this, let me know that you are a strength to me and to Christ, and that we're unionized tonight in one spirit, one mind. This is what brought the mighty Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. They were all in one mind and one accord. That one mind of the mind of Christ in one accord was to do the will of God. And they were all in that one mind. You know, we had a great revival in Macon, Georgia not too long ago. We had the bigger tent up and God was filling that tent up. And we had such a great, wonderful move. Prayer for the sick. There was such a moving of the Spirit and such an anointing that we prayed for people for the longest kind of time as people continually filed across the ramp to receive something from God. Folks, tonight God wants to do something in Apalachicola. Let's pray tonight and let's believe God tonight and let's ask God to do something. What's wrong with you, brother?
I have a bad foot.
I believe God will do something. I should do. With that kind of attitude, there's no reason why he shouldn't.
I'm living for him.
That's the main thing.
I'm made for him.
That's the way it's
been. He's made for me, I'm made for him.
Praise God.
I'm going to try to stay with him. Do everything you can, man. I appreciate
it. Praise God. God bless your heart, my brother. God bless your heart. Praise God. This person really needs prayer. He said he's enjoyed the sermon. He's got a wonderful attitude toward God and toward the ministry here too. Let's pray for him tonight. Can you do that, folks? My Father who art in heaven,
Hallowed be thy wonderful name. Father, you said thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Thy kingdom is in the heart of mankind, in the heart of my brother. And, O Lord, thy will above all things is that he be in health. Lord God, and be happy. Heal him, my Father. Heal him through the righteousness of your Son, Jesus. I feel you healing him right now, my Father. Heal him. Give him strength. Dear God, before he goes off of this platform, I want you to endow him with strength tonight. That when he goes his way, he will feel wonderful and feel good. In the name of your lovely child, Jesus, I believe it. Glory to God. I felt him touch your body. I believe you got more strength right now. I really do. Praise God. I felt your faith. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands up and love God with our brother. Let's just lift your hands here, brother. Father, we love you tonight for your wonderful touch. God, because we feel you moving by your Spirit. Oh, God, as we feel your power tonight moving in the behalf of these people, I pray that you would heal my Father, forgive and heal in the name of Jesus. Father, as I lay hands on this sister tonight, may the wonderful power of the living God come down. Satan, I adjure thee by the living God to take your hands off of this sister. I bind you in the name of Jesus and charge you to withdraw from this sister tonight. Father, we speak healing and deliverance according to the righteousness of the Son of God and His blessings in Jesus' name. I feel God doing something tonight. Father, touch this sister tonight. May the power of God come down. May the blessings of God be here tonight. Father, to heal and to save and forgive. May your spirit move tonight. Oh God, in healing, come into this body. Father, touch this body tonight. May the power of God be felt here tonight. May the Spirit of the Lord move in this life. And dear God, may thy healing be here. God, may yokes be broken. May demon powers be driven away. Oh, mighty God, I feel you doing it tonight. The name of the Son of God. I feel faith, Father, tonight. Father, touch this little one tonight. May the Spirit of God be here. May the power of your deliverance be here tonight to heal and forgive. Oh God, touch tonight. May the great Spirit of the Son of God be here, the resurrected one tonight. Father, that same great Christ that I felt walking with me, heal in Apalachicola tonight. Heal in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Father, touch this person tonight with your great Spirit, my Father. Do a work in this body. Do a work in this mind. May thy Spirit heal and forgive and save, O God. Lord, tonight may every affliction be moved, every power of oppression and freedom come in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Father, touch this body tonight. May the freedom of God be here. May hearts and spirits be filled with joy and the jubilance of Christian living. I call upon thee tonight, mighty Son of God, in Jesus' name. Touch this little one in the name of Jesus tonight by your Spirit, my Father. Touch this body tonight. May healing and deliverance come. The power of your wonderful presence. I pray for your healing and glory tonight, Father. Lord, touch this body tonight. May you deliver this person tonight from every affliction, from every evil spirit. Satan, the Lord rebuke thee. I bind thee in the name of Jesus tonight. I command thee to depart from this body tonight. Depart from this mind tonight. And I plead the blood of Calvary between you and between this body, between this spirit, between this soul, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's lift our hands up and love the Lord tonight while we're praying for these people. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name tonight, I ask you to touch this body tonight. Father, you said the prayer of faith would save the lost. Father, and save the sick. If there is any sins, you said they shall be forgiven, Father. And I ask in Jesus' name tonight that the healing of God be here. And Father, that sin be forgiven. And the power of the anointing that I feel on my body right now be felt in this life and in this heart. Heal my Father. Moved by your Spirit in the name of Jesus, the Son of God. Touch this little one tonight
In the name of Jesus, may thy spirit be upon this little one in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I love him. Do you love him tonight? Oh, I love him. All because Jesus first loved me. And he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Do you love him tonight? Can you say that he is your risen Savior tonight? Can you say that Jesus is alive in your heart tonight? Can you say that your sins are forgiven tonight? Can you say, as the brother said tonight on the platform, that I'm after him and he's after me? Can you say that you're after Jesus tonight and he's after you? Can you do that tonight? I want you to stand with me again, will you? All of these that are sitting down, if you don't mind, stand with me for just a moment. I want you to gather up here, all of you tonight. I want you to gather up here tonight. And I want to pray a special prayer for you. Here in Apalachicola, God is wanting to move by His Spirit. And God's wanting to do something. And I want you to just gather around here tonight, all of you. Come on, folks. Come on, folks. The Bible said, let everything that hath breath praise God. And tonight, you've got breath tonight. You owe it to God to praise Him. And let's gather up here tonight and let's ask God to do something. Will you do that? Every one of you, come on tonight, will you? Let's just gather up. Come on, folks. And let's gather around here tonight. And let's talk to Jesus. And let's ask God to do something tonight. As we pray for you tonight, ask God to do something for you. I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? I feel the Spirit of God, don't you? I feel God doing something. Lift your hands up tonight. And let's love God. Let's praise God for just a few minutes. You know, God inhabits the praise of His people. Isn't that right? God inhabits the praise of His people. And tonight, God wants you to praise Him. Lift your hands up and praise Him tonight. Can you lift your hands up? The Bible said, I would that men everywhere lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. Can you lift your hands up tonight and praise God? Folks, let's praise God for just a few minutes here tonight. Let's love God tonight. God wants to do something for you. God is moving tonight by His wonderful presence. God is moving in your heart tonight. God's moving in this tent tonight. God's moving right here in Apalachicola tonight, because He's got His eyes on you, because He's interested in you. God's wanting to bless you tonight. God's wanting to bless this place tonight. God's wanting you to go home with a blessing tonight. He's wanting you to go home feeling good in your soul. When you're laid down at night tonight, God wants you to feel His presence and know that all is well with you. And if anything should take place, that you'd be in the wonderful care of the Almighty God. While you're praising God tonight and loving the Lord tonight, I want to pray a prayer for you. Just lift those hands up and love Jesus. Will you do it tonight? Father, Lord, God of heaven, as I pray for these people, I stretch my hands out over them. Father, you said whoever I bless would be blessed. Whoever I curse would be cursed. And, oh God, I stretch out a blessing hand over them tonight. In the name of the Son of God, I stretch my hand over these people as the hand of Christ tonight. I stretch my hands over them as your servant tonight. I ask you to heal tonight. I ask you to break the yoke tonight, Father. I ask you to take away every spirit tonight that's unlike God and heal these bodies. Oh God, to relieve these oppressed minds tonight. And may your spirit and your power come down on these hearts tonight, Jesus, to bless and to heal tonight, that when they leave here tonight, they can say that it was good to have been in the house of God. I ask you to heal tonight. Lift your hands up and love Jesus tonight. Lift your hands up and love Jesus.